other Americans as being enemies of this state, as communists or fellow travelers, when on the record, if you take your time to find out, they are no such thing.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. You've really given us an insight into this situation, which is, to say the least, not simple.
It is not easy.
A very complicated problem. You've had a chance to chat with Senator Harry P. Kane, for 3 years a member of the Subversive Activities Control Board of the federal government at Washington. This is Edmund Randall speaking for the American Friends Service Committee. Our guest today is Senator Harry P. Kane, who, as I think pretty near everybody in the country knows, has been for 3 years a very effective and very vocal member of the Subversive Activities Control Board in Washington. Senator Kane, you've made the point that we must, for the sake of our country, regard the civil liberties even of people who are accused of subversion. Could you give us an example of what happens when the individual's rights aren't properly considered?
Well, Mr. Randall, bear in mind, sir, that I never take my eye or my mind or my heart either, for that matter, off of what I think my nation's legitimate internal security demands actually are. Now, anything we do in the field of internal security, we do, in the first place, to protect our nation, do we not?
That's right.
And secondly, coincidentally, and almost equally, it ought to be equally, in order to arrive at those judgments concerning what is good or bad for this country of ours, we want to give consideration to the reasonable rights, historic in character as they are, which belong to you or me or anybody else who may be listening to this program whom you or I have never seen.
Sure.
I'll relate that premise to a young man, I think about age 32, who came to my attention some several months in a frame of reference about like this. While not a native, he had lived in Seattle, Washington for quite a long time. He had been drafted in World War II, had served with honor, left the Army with a honorable discharge, subsequent to which he went to the University of Washington, where in due time, as a member of the Reserve Officers Training Corps, he was commissioned as a second lieutenant. Then the war in Korea breaking out, he went off to that conflict, a serious and difficult one it was, and became a combat platoon leader. If there is a more difficult job in the time of conflict and battle and war, I personally don't know what it is. Anyway, that war came to its end, and this young man went back to Seattle and finally determined, because of his military experience, that he would like to become, for the rest of his life, associated as a counselor with the American Red Cross. The Red Cross in Seattle took him on, gave him what amounted to an apprenticeship for something over a year. And holding him then in very high regard in terms of loyalty to purpose and integrity of being and courage and capacity, they said they wanted to send him overseas to serve with some United States military unit. He agreed, laid his plans accordingly, and the Red Cross from Seattle forwarded a request through channels here in Washington, D.C., for a security clearance, which is required by the military for all Red Cross personnel serving with its units in any out-of-the-continent forces. Mr. Randall, you wouldn't believe it, sir, but it took, in this instance, merely because of thoughtlessness and carelessness, all of which mitigates against the nation's legitimate internal security requirements. It took the Department of the Army something more than 9 months to take action on a simple request for a security clearance for this young man. At the end of that 9 months and longer period, the answer was negative. In a two-sentence memorandum which I have seen, the substance of the memorandum or the rejection being, the investigation of Mr. X in Seattle having been completed, there is sufficient reason to deny your request for a security clearance. That's all there was to it, no more, no less. Now, in consequence, that young man's life in the future, unless there was something that we could do about it, was destroyed forever. Because wherever he was to go elsewhere to apply for employment commensurate with his capacity, he was required to answer the question, have you ever been denied a security clearance?
I follow him all his life.
The answer he could give was a very simple one, yes. And his answer to the second question, please tell why, was, I do not know. Now that left a young American in a completely indefensible position. By that means, he was being oppressed without cause by his government. When the matter was called to the attention of the president, because it takes important people to straighten up these acts of carelessness on occasion, the president himself personally intervened. What was the result? The result was that the young man was restored to his job and is subsequently going to be given a hearing to determine whether he should or should not, on the record, be given a security clearance, which I take for granted will be granted to him. But even more importantly, as a result of the abuse as it was imposed upon that one young citizen of Seattle, Washington, the Department of the Army has but recently issued a new directive which says in the future, whenever we have cause to deny a security clearance to a member of the Red Cross personnel, A, we will tell him what the nature of the reason is, and secondly, we will provide him with what he should have always been entitled to, a chance to clear himself. And I think that is an achievement, sir, out of this world, and we can call it civil liberties, but call it what you will. It is common decency and should be the order of the day for always.
You feel that every man has a right to what this man was able to secure only because the president intervened.
Mr. Randall, if you don't have the same right, which I feel with great conviction I am entitled to, then that right of mine may someday be taken away. There are no differences between Americans. A right to which one is entitled, every other American should be granted.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Harry P. Kane, for this instance, which gives us an idea of the kind of thing you have been accomplishing as a member of the Subversive Activities Control Board, too. This is Edwin Randall speaking for the American Friends Service Committee.